The Record on KUOW. We are live tweeting this program at KUOW. You really ought to join us. And thanks for tuning in. I'm Bill Radke. Is this the end of the Showbox? The outcry yesterday was immediate after new documents showed a developer is planning on bulldozing the concert venue, and they plan to replace it with a 44-story, $100 million apartment building. Here's a sampling of the reaction from KEXP. DJ Dusty Henry says, if they go through with demolishing the Showbox for condos or offices, it will exemplify the city's blatant disregard for its own spectacular arts community. A couple other tweets. I'm sorry, Seattle, but you're willing to let the Showbox be torn down? WTF is wrong with you? Why do you hate the things that made you great? And finally, oh, Seattle, you're killing me with your rush to soulless boomtown. That last tweet from Kurt Schlosser, writer and editor at GeekWire, and he's sitting next to me. Thanks for coming in, Kurt.
Thanks, Bill. Good to see you.
There's also a petition to save the Showbox by declaring it a historic landmark. That petition got 20,000 signatures in less than a day. It's now upwards of 31,000, and it was started by Seattle comedian Jay Middleton, who's on the phone. Jay, welcome to KUOW.
Thanks for having me.
I'll start with you, Kurt. Soulless boomtown. Now, we definitely are a boomtown, but what? High-rise dwellers have no soul?
This is, you know, a lot of what I saw on social media yesterday was sort of the enough is enough. Have we not achieved this status yet of driving everything cool away? We're going to drive the last cool thing away. Probably not the last cool thing, but that sentiment that we are at this point where we're just exasperating people to the point where they're just throwing their arms up and they're ready to chain themselves to the front of this theater music venue in the heart of downtown.
As the band Thunder Pussy said, we'll chain ourselves to the Showbox.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's a frustrating sentiment to have to express for something that you love and where there's a lot of history and a lot of cultural value.
Well, we do have a lot of new people here. Kurt and Jay, maybe we should run through some of the bands and acts that have played at the Showbox. What comes to mind, Jay?
Well, honestly, that's the venue that when I was a musician, like an active musician, that's the first show or first venue I ever played in a band. So that's like, when I heard about this news, it was heartbreaking for me. But like, I'm standing on a stage where like some of my favorite like metal, grunge, punk bands have been on there. But then as a guy who studied music through the years, of learning about jazz, rock and roll, you know, I mean, when you hear like a name like Duke Ellington, like making it big, like and doing shows at the Showbox, that's history. That's a horrible idea to just rip out history out of a city that, I mean, in the 90s was defined by grunge music. And so you're taking and ripping out like a cultural icon that's a landmark out of the city. This could be this. I mean, it's about even that's worse than ripping the Sonics away from the city.
You got Kurt's eyebrows to go up there.
it's disrespectful.
It's been a music venue since the late 30s, 100-year-old building, but a concert venue since then.
Yeah, I think the Sonics equivalency is interesting because certainly sports fans were as hurt by that, and the city as a whole, and culturally, the removal of that team. I think the Showbox sort of would exemplify that a bit. I read a post by Charles Peterson, the famous grunge photographer, yesterday on Facebook. He wrote to the city and included some of his images. I mean, he made a name for himself photographing bands in that venue. He's seen 100 shows there or more and said that his grandparents danced there in the 30s and 40s. You know, pieces of history like that are important to share and to remember in this town as so many people new come here for new jobs and so much changes and comes down in the process.
But, you know, one of the things that happens with all the newcomers is that prices get driven up. Then we hear, what do we need to make Seattle affordable? We got to build. We need more housing so it gets cheaper. Do you feel no conflict there, Jay?
I feel a little conflict because I work in Ballard and live in Lake Stevens because I can't afford to live in Seattle. You know, it's a little rough for me to think, like, we're going to be building more when I can't already afford to live anywhere close here.
Yeah, I think the presumption that whatever's being built, especially in a 44-story tower in the center of downtown, is going to be suddenly affordable for people who can't already afford the city is misconceived.
Well, let's get back to the soullessness idea. Like, this seems like to many people a referendum on what Seattle is, on Seattle's soul, on what makes it great and special. What does make Seattle special?
Speaking for myself, I moved here in the mid 90s, 1996, when I was in my mid 20s, and I moved here specifically because of the cultural boom that was happening here. I didn't move here for a tech job. I moved here because Seattle was on the map for the music that was being created in this place, and it was a beautiful place and still is. But I think that culture needs to be kept in place. Otherwise, you're left with mountain views and skyscraper views and the Space Needle. And is that enough to sustain a place if you drive out the people who create the art and can afford to live here on money that they make by creating art? I think it's important to hold on to those institutions in that segment of your population.
What do you do with the idea that you thought Seattle was cool when you felt cool, that every generation wants to preserve the Seattle, that, yeah, Jay, your first band played there, of course you feel that way, but come new people. There was something there before the show box and something before that, and that was stolen land to begin with. You know, that it's all, that what are we preserving here? What do you do with that?
I guess you're preserving the music culture that helped define this city, I mean, during a good portion of the 90s, but you're preserving culture of music throughout decades and decades, not just music, but also art. We're not just talking about music. We're also talking about burlesque. We're talking about comedy. We're talking about all sorts of theater throughout the years of that club, you know, just from the 30s and on.
Why is it important to you that it's in the same location? Jay, you live in Lake Stevens. Why not spread the love? I mean, the art has always gone to places where it's afforded, or at least it draws enough people that it can be afforded there. So it could be, the showbox could be in Lake Stevens or Federal Way.
I grew up in Kent. And my parents would drive me into Seattle for things when I was a kid, for us to go explore the city and to go explore different things. And when you see the culture, the architecture around you, the bright lights, like when you're at night and you see that showbox marquee and those bright lights, your eyes twinkle and the imagination runs wild and you wonder what goes on in there. There's the mystique of it, and it keeps your mind racing and going. And that's what, I mean, like I come to the city. It's got the culture in the city. Why remove it and put it somewhere else and get like a half off flavor taste? You know what I mean? It just doesn't feel the same at all. It doesn't feel organic. When you sit in that building, you feel the ghosts. You feel it, and it's a really good feeling.
What about you, Kurt? You don't want the showbox on a flatbed truck and haul that
around. Yeah, the same reason this developer wouldn't build their 44-story tower in Lake Stevens. They want to be in the city that is booming and making a name for itself, and they want to be in Seattle, just like all the people who are coming here. You don't, when you think about going out on the town in Seattle, you don't think about getting in the car and driving 30 minutes away. You want to go right downtown.
So, Jay, you began this petition that I mentioned to give the showbox landmark status. And clearly it's an 80-year-old music venue and a 102-year-old building. Other than that, what's your case for landmark status?
It's surprising to me it already hasn't been made one. Like, to me, like, hearing that it hasn't been made one, it just kind of shocked me when I heard that. And so it kind of got concerning. A friend of mine actually said it to me on like a comment on Facebook saying that we should petition it for this. So I said, you know what, I'll just go ahead and just start it.
Yeah, and it's doing pretty well.
It is doing well.
And I'll tell you this, I didn't think it would get this big, honestly. I did not reach out to any media. I did not reach out, like,
does the city of Seattle take into account your petition? I mean, they have their own guidelines for what's landmark status. Is it associated with a historic event or the life of an important person in the history of the city? You know, they have like six or so criteria. Does your petition matter?
I guess, well, yeah. I mean, you have hundreds of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame bands that have probably walked through that venue. And then you also got two of them that have historically played there as well. I mean, Pearl Jam is one of the most recent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame bands, and they've played there, I bet you, numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the Stranger had a good take on the petition, the landmark status, what the city's role is, how that process sort of plays out this morning. And this won't be a short process by any stretch, and there'll be many public meetings and votes if this does move forward. The Stranger said the developer may in fact initiate the landmark status purely because it takes so long. They want to just go ahead and be out in front of that. So we'll see what happens.
By the way, yeah, we don't know for sure this developer is the buyer. Right now, it's owned. The Showbox is owned by a strip club magnate, and you know, we figure maybe that's who he's selling to. We talked to Jeff Shulman about this. He hosts the Seattle Growth podcast, and he's a professor at the UW Foster School of Business. Listen to this.
Live music is still very much alive in the city, and hopefully this symbol will catalyze people, those people who care about the Showbox, to push for places for the arts, whether it's new venues or housing for artists or space, rehearsal space.
If the Showbox is going, and we certainly don't know, we're a long way from knowing that, but does that energy go, is there something people can do besides be mad with that energy and love for music and historic venues?
There are plenty of venues still in this town. It's still a great place to see music, whether it's in the neighborhoods around town or in the downtown core. I went to a show at the Neptune last month that I very much enjoyed. I was out at the Gorge, which is a huge national stage for bands. It's just you take away one, and then the next one comes, and then the next one. It's just this ripple effect that has got people down. And whether it's the house next door to you that stood there for 100 years and suddenly becomes a cookie cutter box, or it's your favorite club, it just doesn't seem to be ending as Seattle grows and grows and grows.
Jay, do we need anger to save the Showbox? Like, I love old buildings. I was so sorry when the Music Box got torn down. That might have been before you got here. But, you know, this is an ongoing thing. And one way to look at it is everything changes, everything turns to dust. People, if this is a new apartment, I love those people too, and I hope they'll go and support arts, you know, the hundreds of them up to the sky. And I want, but we have landmark status. We love old buildings, so maybe we're not going to let that happen. Maybe Thunder Pussy's going to chain themselves to a place they love, and we're going to say, no, we're going to save this building. But does it have to be an us versus them? I see a lot of online F these, you know, a-hole developers. Do we have to do it that way?
No, we don't have to do it that way. There's a smarter way to do it. There's a more political way to do it. We all have to work together as a group that loves the Showbox rather than a group that hates this developer. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way that I see it foregoing. That's the only way I can see it foregoing, you know? And the thing is, like, to me,
wow, yeah, what's wrong with the angry, but a bunch of people signed the petitions. It seems like it's working so far.
You know, there's always going to be anger on the internet. There's always going to be anger on the internet. I mean, it happens with jokes every day. It happens with comedians every day. And honestly, like, that's never going to go away. But usually half the time that I see, if there's somebody angry on the internet, they're pretty neutral in person.
Mm. That's Jay Middleton knows about comedy. He's a comedian and a former band member who played the Showbox. Mae West, Al Jolson, Duke Ellington, Pearl Jam, the Ramones, and Jay Middleton's band, okay, at this historic venue. And Kurt Schlosser, a writer and editor, GeekWire, uniting in love, trying to save the Showbox Theater. After that announcement this week, developer plans to bulldoze it and build a residential tower. Jay, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
Kurt, thanks. Good to see you.
Thanks, Bill.